This is The Blind Eye, a podcast about Italy and understanding art. Okay.
Again,
and we're going to try to continue with this podcast to make it more interesting. We met a little bit a few weeks ago to try to see how we could reorganize things. So hopefully this one will be even better than the past.
We try to work better and to let people see what we are speaking about.
Yeah. Anyway, the idea, like always, is Antonella chooses a work of art. And it's work of art that is famous for everybody, but a lot of times maybe we don't know why it's famous. We just know that it's famous. Both of us, we live here in Italy, and so we'll be talking about Italian art, as always. And so what do we have today, Antonella?
And today we have the best sculpture ever. The David from Michelangelo. It's well known, I think. It's a kind of expression of the best works by Michelangelo ever. You know, Michelangelo is a sculptor, he's also a painter, but for this David, probably he was considered one of the best artists ever. And he made this sculpture between 1501 and 1504. So at the beginning
so
of
this, the year 1501 and 1504.
And at the beginning of the 16th century.
Okay.
In Florence, this was one of the many statues we have in the cathedral. It was commissioned by the church, by the Opera del Duomo, to Michelangelo for the
It's not in the cathedral Florence. Though. It's not in the cathedral
no.
anymore.
No, if you want to go and visit and see and have the best experience in art, you have to go to the Gallerie dell'Accademia. Accademia.
But before it was in the cathedral?
Yes, but they were not so convinced about, so they put outside the cathedral, and then they decided to put at the end of the 16th century in this famous lab. We can say that Gallerie dell'Accademia, l'Accademia, is a real laboratory for any kind of artist, even today, that want to express, want to study, above all, the classical art.
Well, we'll have to make sure to send them our podcast.
Yes.
If it's a lab, you know, they probably want some contributors like us contributing.
Yes, we should visit with our podcast some way, one day. Because it's one of the best museum. It's a little museum, but it's full of many beautiful things. Obviously, the David by Michelangelo is the best work of art there. Everyone is going there to see the David. Mm? But it was thought for the Cathedral of Florence. And since it's a very big statue, it's a great statue, it's so high, it's so impressive, then they decide to put outside so anyone can see every day, just working in Florence, could see this work of art. And then they decide to protect this work of art to put in the Galleria dell'Accademia.
Okay, so first it was in the cathedral, and then they moved it outside.
Outside,
and then probably because they didn't want it to get ruined.
Yes,
from
the weather, you know. Yes.
And then they moved it into the Accademia.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And just in front of Palazzo della Signoria, in Piazza della Signoria, Palazzo Vecchio, where is the government even today, there is a copy just in front of the main entrance.
Yeah, so if you go to Florence and you see the one that's outside, that's not the real one.
No, it's not the real one. No, it's a copy. It's
okay.
A very good copy. It's a very good copy, but if you want to see the original, obviously you should go to the Accademia. and is a block of marble. Is a block of marble that Michelangelo couldn't choose. This is a very important thing because usually Michelangelo went to choose.
Like, would he actually go to the mountain? Like,
yes, yes, yes.
Like, look at rocks
he
that they were
often,
cutting?
yes, he often went there. He chose the best marble ever. He was an expert also about this material. And usually he went there, he chose, and he came back to Florence, to Rome, to do what he wanted.
Okay, but in this case, he couldn't.
But they were not, I mean, sure about what they want to do.
Wait, so who had the big block of marble? Like some guys, they said, we have this block of marble and we want you to do something with it?
Yes.
Who?
The Republic of Florence decide to call this very young artist to do something with this block of marble.
Oh, so they
and
had the block of marble.
Yes, they have this kind of block of marble next to the Duomo, and they decide to do something. The government in that time was free from the Medici family, and they wanted something to represent that government in that moment. A government made without Medici family. Since we think about the Renaissance and Medici always together. No, it's not the case.
Okay, at least what I learned in the little art history that I learned in my high school was that basically the Medici family was funding the Renaissance. Like they or at least we have this idea that the family, the Medici family in Florence was the one contributing to all of the advances in
one
art.
One of the best family ever, not only in Italy, not only during the Renaissance, but also after the Renaissance, because they lived more or less until the end of the 18th century.
Okay, so going back to this rock, so they wanted to celebrate being free from the Medici
family.
Yes,
they were. Exactly, okay. Exactly. Just because...
So Florence, like when we say they, we're talking about
yes,
the
some families,
Florentine
some, yes, some,
government or the...
Yes, some rich families.
The other families.
Yes, other families, okay. Except Medici. Medici went away for a few years from Florence.
Where did they go? Were they on vacation?
It may be.
Did they just go to Spain for a bit?
They have so many beautiful houses, beautiful villas outside Florence. Some of them went to Rome to prepare their career about the church, in the church. Some of them, Leone Decimo, Leone the Tenth, will be the Pope, one Pope after. And at the end, more or less, of the 15, they came back, obviously. And they were so angry, and they dominated from that moment the life of Florence for many, many years. I mean, for more or less for 250 years. But Michelangelo.
Okay, so yeah, going back, we have this rock.
Yes, you have this rock. What do you want to do?
The Medici's are on some kind of like personal growth moment.
They were in Rome. So what do you think Michelangelo could do? I mean, if you were Michelangelo, what do you like to do? What did you like to do with this kind of piece of marble?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to think of being Michelangelo. I can really only think
no
about
one can
what
be
I would do with it. And
but if you,
I don't know.
If you
I
were
mean,
an
could,
artist, even today,
yeah,
what do you?
I mean,
did you like? What do you like to do with this big piece of marble?
A big rock. I have no idea. I have literally no idea of where I would even start. Mm-hmm. You know, like I don't know. Maybe start thinking of something that I like, a person that I like, and just go from there.
Okay.
But you know, I don't. I really have
No, no
no idea
idea.
where I would, where I would start and where I would find inspiration
You
for
can.
that kind of thing. And I would probably just choose some kind of random thing,
Yes,
like, oh, a
a
fish or
fish,
something. Like,
a
why'd you do a fish? I
fish.
don't know, because I thought of a fish right then. But I don't know. And once I started it, then it was a fish, and there we
Yes,
go.
yes, yes. This could work very, very well for the contemporary art, if you think. We have so many artists,
Okay, so
yes, that.
maybe I'm more of a contemporary
Yes, probably you are
artist.
more contemporary. Since, and this is a very important thing to see and to say, that probably since you are young, since you are American, you are, I mean, you have the habit to see the contemporary world, to see the contemporary art more than I, for example. Since I was born in Italy, I was surrounded by these Renaissance, Middle Ages works of art. My eyes are more, I mean, influenced by this kind of art. Probably you are more influenced by the contemporary art. And probably you could do a fish from a marble. Yes, why not? Why not?
Or, yeah, I don't know, a
A
tree, I don't
tree
know.
or something like
My
this.
son,
Yes.
I don't know,
What do
like
you
I have
want?
a son, he's pretty cool,
Yes,
or my
yes.
son and daughter, you
Yes,
know, maybe
could be.
together, I don't know.
But in the case of Michelangelo, we should think,
He was probably thinking of something
and
different. Yeah, well, obviously he was,
yes,
given the result.
because it was paid by someone that by someone by some people that were so well organized about the culture of the time, about what they want. You know, I mean, if you want to represent something and you call your best artist ever in that moment, okay, you suggested to this artist to do what you want. Okay,
Ah, okay.
since Michelangelo was a free man, a free young man, since Michelangelo was a genius, obviously, he could do everything. So they decide to have a special theme. Do you know something about the story of David and Goliath?
Okay, so again here. And this is the point of the whole podcast, right? Is to, by helping me understand and re-educating me, the idea is to give some of this basic information that maybe we had at one point, or maybe we just never had. And you know, if Nick, if you go to Florence and go see this, then hopefully you'll be able to have a
Yes.
little bit more information. So anyway, David and Goliath. I know the basics. You have
Goliath,
Goliath, who is a
who was
giant.
diligent,
Right,
yes.
and he only has one eye, which is a strange detail to me, but whatever. He's a giant with one eye,
Special giant.
and then we have David, who ends up having to like fight him and ends up killing him,
Yes.
right? And so, and David represents the underdog. I don't remember. I have no idea why they were fighting in the first place.
Yes,
You know, why
yes,
the giant, what did he want? Did he
yes,
want to kill everybody? Did he
yes.
just want to kill David? I don't remember any of that. But you got David, who's the underdog because he's just a regular guy,
Yes,
and he has to fight a giant.
yes. So we should begin to think that, first of all, this is a religious subject. Okay, this
Okay.
story about these two different elements. David, the young David, the small little young boy, and this giant is a story told by the Bible. First of all,
It's in the Bible. It's a story in the
it's
Bible.
in the
Okay.
Bible, so everyone could see. I mean, everyone could read this story, and the story is very easy because it is a kind of battle between this young man and this special giant, and it's about the story of again of a special place. You know something about Palestina, Philistines?
I mean, the Holy
Yes,
Land,
the
right?
Holy
And that's where a lot of the
Land.
story is from the
Yes,
Bible.
obviously the Bible comes from that place. Anyway, Goliath, this kind of terrible giant with his armor and shield, want to fight against the Israeli and the kingdom, this kingdom. And so,
What did he just want to destroy it? Is he like some kind of King Kong guy going around? He just wants to smash
yes,
everything?
probably he wanted to destroy, probably he wants to occupy this land, probably he wants to dominate this kind of land. And so
Okay.
David, that was a very a very smart guy, accept to fight, I mean to face in some way this terrible giant. And so one day David, that was armed only with a rock, a little rock, and his it's a
It's a sling.
sling, sorry.
A sling. Yeah, you put a rock and a piece of cloth and
Yeah,
you wing it
yes, a
around, it goes
sling.
faster. And
Thank you.
yeah.
And we can see in the work of art by Michelangelo in the shoulder. And so David went out from the city and says, okay, let's face this giant. Let's face only with this rock and above all with my faith in God and with my courage, with my brave heart. Okay.
Nobody thought of talking to the giant beforehand. Maybe it could
Probably,
have resolved things in a different way. Maybe that's how we should be doing
yes.
it in a new modern way. But anyway, he was going to go throw a
Yes,
rock at
he
him
wanted to.
with the power of God behind him.
Exactly, haha. And this is the key. I mean, exactly, this is the key. Because David, with his intelligence, with his smart eyes, with his brave heart, went to face the giant, but he had a special ability to fight with his arms.
So he was like really good at using his
Probably,
sling and throwing
yes.
rocks. Okay.
And he hit. Only with one hit, the center of the face, the center of the forehead of the giant, and Goliath falls to the ground.
Like he fell down,
Yes,
he fell
fell.
down after getting
Yes,
hit. Did he get in the hit in the forehead, or was that where his eye was?
yes,
And so he got hit in the
yes,
eye.
yes. Because he had only one eye, he couldn't see
Yeah, I guess it's convenient for David, who had
a
one
rock.
rock, for the
Yes,
giant to
yes,
have
yes.
one eye.
With
All
one
right.
hit, he tried and he won this kind of struggle. And then David obviously cuts his head.
Well, yeah, I guess he had to finish him off at that point.
Okay,
Yeah.
when the giant was on the ground, with the face to the ground.
That's the humane thing to do. I
Yes,
mean,
this is,
yeah.
and that's why, for example, this is a very revolutionary sculpture, because before Michelangelo made this David, there was, for example, another famous work of art by Donatello. Do you know this David by Donatello? Did you ever see? He's in Florence, he's in Museum Bargello.
I'm gonna say that I think that I have seen it, but that I also don't remember what it looks like.
It's a David, but there we have
Okay.
a bronze statue. It's a little one.
So it's the same
Yes, the
guy,
same guy
right? In the same
in the same
situation.
situation, but there with Donatello we can see the head of the giant under his feet. So when the struggle
Okay.
is over, here
Okay.
for the Michelangelo, we see the struggle beginning, the beginning of this I mean challenge, you know? That's why it's so
It's the
important.
moment
The
before
moment
the
before,
fight.
be the moment before Michelangelo wanted to represent the moment when you decide to do something very, very important.
Okay. Can I talk
Yeah.
about like what it looks
Yeah.
like to me, right? Okay, so if I'm there in the Academia, first I thought I was looking at the real one, which is in
Piazza
Buona
della
Signoria, or
Signoria,
the
that we
fake
said.
one. And then somebody told me, no, you got to go to the Academia. So I go to the Academia and I am there and I'm looking at it. And it's huge. You're right. You said it was large. I don't know. Is it like, I think it's like
5 meters,
3 meters
C5.
tall, 5 meters tall. That 5 meters. So, like, I'm a very
Yes,
tall
you are so
man. So,
tall.
if you're American listening to this, you don't know how much a meter is, right? So, I'm very tall and I'm almost 2 meters. So, it's like two and a half of me. So, two and a half of a pretty tall guy. So, it's really tall, you know? And that's immediately striking. But like we all know that it's famous. And so there's the atmosphere of it being famous around you because you have to wait in line and then they only let so many people in. And then you're around there and everybody's taking their pictures and you're like, oh, and then you know the name Michelangelo and everything. And of course it is impressive. Like I am impressed that a human being made a rock look a lot like another human being, like a lot like another. I mean, there's veins in his
Veins.
hands, and you can kind of see like how he's going to move. He's got a look in his eyes. So that's all super impressive that a human could make a rock look like that. After that, though, is when me, or probably most of the people who go there and visit it, kind of like okay, well, it's a guy, it's a rock that looks like a guy and it's really big and like great job,
Great
Michelangelo.
job,
I don't
yes,
think
great
many
job.
other people could have made it look like that. Like great job, thanks. Okay, but I don't know, like all right. So why then is it so important? Like why do we all know about it? Why is this such an iconic thing other than that it's naked, because then you go around
Yes,
in Florence and you have the shops basically selling you pictures of the just the mid portion there. This is the popular either the backside or the front side
Yes,
of
it
both,
depends.
right? Lots of people
Yes.
still for some reason think that seeing a naked like can't handle seeing somebody naked. And so sometimes I feel like a lot of people think it's famous because of that, and that's just mind-blowingly stupid. But at the same time, it is also hard for somebody who doesn't know any of the backstory, all of these things, other than the fact that it's so technically well done. Like, why is it so famous? Because then you just, okay, you walk around and you're like, okay.
Yes, everything you said is so true, and is and everyone probably in Florence can experience this kind of things you are saying. Do you know that the fact we have a male nude is not a problem?
Okay, what do you mean it's not a problem? I mean, I can think of probably like a lot of people who do think it's a problem still. But I mean, you know, whatever. I don't think that the people at the academia are going to be bothered by those people's complaints. But so when you say that question, you mean like, do I know that it wasn't a problem then, or do I know that it isn't a problem now? Okay, so when Michelangelo
When
made it,
Michelangelo
that wasn't a
made,
big deal.
when Michelangelo made at the
Okay.
time of Michelangelo and the Renaissance, and just before Michelangelo and after Michelangelo, we can see many works of art made by women or men in this case, naked.
Like where we have depictions of the women and men naked. Yeah.
And
Well, yeah. Okay, yeah.
but do you know
Why?
why? Do you know why? Or do you know why we had no scandal with we have no, I mean, surprise. Probably you know that during the Renaissance, we don't have to think about only about the men or the women from a sexual point of view, you know, but we have to think about men and women from a mythological point of view. So we
Okay.
can think about Paradise Lost. It means that probably in the classical culture from Greek, from Roman Empire too, the naked male or the naked women were not so scandalous, were not so a surprise for the common culture.
Do you think that it was provocative though, some way? I mean,
No,
kind of, I mean,
no.
aren't we a little bit hardwired to like see a naked person and possibly be a little bit provoked?
Probably, but for the Renaissance, from an artistic point of view, about the Renaissance, not, no, because
Okay.
wins over the fact. Because for them, mythology was more important than the technical fact that David, in this case, is naked.
Maybe we should just go and say it. They were smarter and more mature than we are now.
Probably yes. For example, as the Greek, the ancient Greek were, for sure.
It's hard to accept, or it's hard to think about that we're not the most evolved. We're not the best, but there's, I guess, the idea of the best is relative and different throughout time.
Yes. Probably we should think not about the culture, about our time, not from a line point of view, but from a circle point of view. So if you think that our life is a circle, more or less, you have some explanation of our, for example, disasters. But if you think that we are more evolved than the Romans, the Greek, or other people in the ancient times, is not so true. Is not so true. Probably we are more evolved from a technical point of view, from practical point of view. Yes, it is. If you think about the energy, if you think about the lights, if you think about the electricity, for example, if you think about the very smart world, we live in. But we are not more evolved from strict literally or a culture point of view. We live in an age that is dominated by the techne. Techne is the word, the Greek word, to see the technical things. And in this kind of field, we are the best now, and probably we can improve. But from a cultural point of view, I don't think so. Or in this
Well,
moment.
and that's what we're doing with this podcast, is we're trying
Yes, and
to
we try to. Yes, yes, yes.
we're trying to just
Yes,
move the
yes.
meter there a little bit for all of humanity as far as
Yes,
culture
yes,
goes with
yes,
our
yes,
little
yes,
effort
yes.
here on the podcast.
We try.
But still, again, like, why is this one? Because I mean, even Michelangelo himself made other sculptures, right? He was a
Yes,
sculptor.
yes,
Like, was he more of
yes.
a sculptor or more of a painter? What did he, or would he was
This
doing
is a
everything?
good, very good, very deep and good question. That is the point. Michelangelo considered himself as a sculptor,
He was
always,
a
always.
sculptor.
He said, yes, he's a sculptor. But for us, he's also a painter.
Right, he painted the
For
ceiling of the
us, he's a
Sistine Chapel,
genius.
which is another one of those
Yes,
things that everybody goes and sees and everybody says, wow, because again, good job. He did a really good
Good
job
job.
of painting that.
We should organize another podcast about the Sistine
Probably,
Chapel.
yeah.
No, I mean, not one, but probably
It's
three or
going to be like
four.
a week long marathon.
Yes, a week long podcast.
So you said he thought of himself as a sculptor. Okay.
Yes.
Then he made other sculptures. So why is this one the one
David,
that is so famous and that we all need to go see and
yes, because for that time, the David, this Bible figure, this is important real figure, was for them the symbol of liberty. So, since we said that Medici were not there in that times, in these few years in Florence, the families from Florence decide to call Michelangelo to represent, from an artistic point of view, this freedom. We are free from Medici. So let's see, let's protect our republic system in this moment. Let's protect our idea of this beautiful city, our idea of Florence, improving this idea about the liberty, about the freedom, the freedom from Medici, the freedom from anyone who can, take this city.
with that being said, let me see if I understand here. So he's, when you look at this statue, he's looking up at something. And so if David represents the freedom and the liberty, he's looking up at the monster. Is the monster the Medici family?
Good idea. Good. Probably yes.
You know what I would like? I
Yes, bravo.
would like to commission another artist to make a Goliath and put it in there. I'd like to see that. But maybe that's, I don't know, that's probably too
But this
that you
Goliath.
don't get to imagine. Maybe we're supposed to imagine Goliath and see David. So is Goliath, was he the Medici?
Probably they consider Medici family like this giant, like this Goliath. Who can
Like
see? Who can
freedom
say?
from what? I mean, you can have
Free,
freedom and liberty in
freedom.
general, but
Yes,
were
freedom
they
from this.
oppressed?
Probably yes.
Who is the
Probably they
oppressor?
consider the oppressor were considered the Medici. The Medici were considered the oppressor since they had this kind of strong ability, very, very deep ability to dominate the market, to dominate the economical life, to dominate the political life. Think that just a few years before, when Lorenzo il Magnifico died in 1472, from that moment, Medici transformed the family in something new. So Medici became just a strong, sometimes like bad. It's like a tyranny, tyrannia, corruptions.
Greed.
Many, yes, many, many families, for example, tried to kill some of the Medici. For example, Giuliano dei Medici, a brother of Lorenzo, was killed just outside the church during the Holy Week, in the night of Easter. So, Firenze, it's true that in Florence we had this very important family, but we have to think about that this important, very, very important family was not always a good family from a human point of view, you know?
It's interesting because of everything that I've already always kind of known, which is very little. But the basic idea is like, if I look at the David, it's almost like that is the symbol of the Renaissance, and then by consequence, like the Medici family was responsible for that. But what you say is interesting because it's actually quite the opposite, which is
It's very
not what I
ironic.
thought I knew.
Yes, it's very ironic if you think. While Medici wanted to be remembered for everyone, for this great government, great art, great Florence where they live, okay, but just for a few years, when Michelangelo made the David, they were not there because they were considered not well accepted in the city. And so they went away, and we said they came back and they were stronger than before.
So I guess David's liberty and freedom didn't last.
No, didn't last. And everyone considered this work of art a symbol of Renaissance, as you said. I mean, if you think about Renaissance, you think about Michelangelo, you think about Raffaello. For Michelangelo, obviously, you think about Florence and you think about the David. But it's what is. I mean, it's not only the David, the symbol of this freedom, of this liberty. The David is also the symbol of our brave heart ever and ever, not only during the Renaissance. This work of art became a symbol of the intelligence of the man. I mean, the intelligence of the man to fight dangerous in the life and to overcome and to defeat these dangers. So this was what keeps on talking to us.
Like I see how, of course, like the idea of the story of the underdog is definitely a powerful story, and it's one that's easy for us to understand. It's not hard for us to
To
understand that we all
understand,
have things that we have to defeat that seem bigger than us and seem impossible, but then we do have, if we believe in ourselves, or if you want to even believe in God or whatever, you can do that. But why is this sculpture? It's just the one. If you go to Florence, you can't not go see it. Whereas if I were to ask other people, what are the other sculptures that this famous sculptor made? I think that a lot of people who are not art history students don't know. Like I can't name, well, I can, But for the interest of this podcast, I'm not going to. Most people probably couldn't name another sculpture by Michelangelo. Was there some kind of like marketing that this one got that other things didn't get?
Marketing is okay, as if you think for another kind of genius, Leonardo da Vinci, Mona Lisa in the Louvre Museum, no, in Paris. So if you think about this icon, this kind of how can I say, this kind of symbol of our art, you can see that now there are more or less surrounded by these strong marketing strategies, obviously. But I think there is something more. I mean, you should also think about the context where this Michelangelo work of art born, because if you think that in this city, in that time, in few years, we had the best artist ever for our Western culture. If you think we have, let's begin with thinking about obviously Filippo Brunelleschi, with the perspective. Let's think about Donatello. Let's think about Michelangelo, then Leonardo da Vinci and Raphael. And then we have so many others. And to arrive, for example, to Galileo Galilei in Pisa, let's see that in Tuscany, in this special area in Italy, we have a special concentration of good artists. How can I say, this kind of genius in each field? So probably it's kind of an eco,
Like an
if you think
ecosystem
the
of geniuses
eco,
working
yes, an
together.
ecosystem, yes. Yes, working together in few years, beginning from Brunelleschi and ending nowadays, more or less, to the artist nowadays, we can say that in Florence above all, but also in Rome, obviously, we had this kind of a long wave of art. And sincerely, I mean, from an artistic point of view, this golden age, the Renaissance, was probably the most important time for our Western culture. Without the Renaissance, I said always to my I always said to my students, without the Renaissance, without Michelangelo, Galileo, blah 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 blah, we couldn't go to the moon. Because our thought, our mind, a different view of the world, of our environment, changed so much and improved so much in that time. So probably we couldn't live anymore a kind of renaissance, above all in the Western
You
culture.
don't think
We
we
couldn't
could?
live.
Like, what if we, like, the idea that you said where they were all together, that's an idea that I mean, it's very common now.
We
The
didn't
idea of the
have,
incubator, right? That's what they call it, where you put all the smart people
yes.
together and hey, you guys work and do stuff together. You don't think that if we encouraged people to do things with art, like if we gave them all the money and we, pay for art, do you think that we could have another Renaissance?
For me, for this moment, no,
No.
it's not impossible. No, and it's not possible because people having money. In our Western culture, they don't use money, not only for, I mean, they don't use money to improve art.
Well, what if they
If they
did though?
do,
Like if they say if we paid artists, like okay, artists, and let's find the best ones, okay? The ones who are really the best. And we paid them to live happily and do their art in the best way that they could. You don't think we would have another Renaissance?
The relationship is different now, no? The problem is that now for us, art is something conceptual and is something private, is very private, is your experience. I went to the Biennale last week in Venice. I walked through these rooms and these beautiful works of art, but I was alone to enjoy the work of art, and I didn't have the effect. I didn't have this kind of this kind of desire to know better the artist who made the kind of a work of art. Is it something very, very, very private? Is it something individual? Is it something as the religion too, if you think? We have many, many people going to many, many people that have faith in some God, but if you think the most important, I mean, proof of your religion, of your habit, of religious habit, is to be alone with your God, not to go in a special square to enjoy God with the others. This is the opposite. When in the Middle Ages and in the Renaissance, everything was public. Everything was not made for the people, pay attention, but was public to celebrate the people who promoted in some way that work of art, that perspective, that things. Yes. The problem is that now we celebrate, as we said before, the technical. So if I have Elon Musk doing something, paying something, Elon Musk, I mean, he prefers to pay someone to do cars, to do, I mean, objects, okay? If we speak about Steve Jobs, we can speak, we can think about someone who promotes something that is very technical. It's not work of art, you know? It's not something that is art. Art means, I mean, we have so many meanings about art, but art means, above all, something that is very, that can last and can speak to everyone in different culture, in different times. Otherwise, it's not art.
This is a rock that looks like a guy.
Yes, like a guy will last, I mean, until we don't destroy it, okay?
It will definitely be our
So,
fault when it
yes,
falls
yes.
apart.
So, so the idea of David, the idea, I mean, that are in the back, you know, in the background, and above all, the work of art could last many, many years.
We could say forever. I mean, I think, I mean, forever
Forever,
in the sense
forever.
that that's
Okay,
a
forever.
possible thing, but
Yeah, forever. We can say forever. In some way, forever. I hope forever. Yes.
Well, I think that I definitely got a new perspective on this iconic thing, and the
Okay,
next
I'm so
time
happy.
that I end up in front of it, I'll probably have a better idea of what I'm looking at.
Yeah, probably
And
yes.
hopefully,
Probably
one
yes.
of our listeners, of the like five that there are, I don't know how many people are actually listening to this, might one day end up in Florence and also have been helped out by our efforts. Okay, Antonella.
I hope so. Thank you,
All right.
Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Well,
I am so
I
happy.
think that we can leave it there. And
Yeah,
next
and
time,
we
we'll
prepare
record
something new.
something new and
Something
eye-opening.
new. Yes, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
The Blind Eye is created by me, Mike Manchester, and Antonella Filippone. It's produced by me. Special thanks to Tommaso Bolognesi for the original music.